Your Bibles, if you don't mind, while the children are dismissed, and find the book of Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, the fifth book in the New Testament, the sixth book in the New Testament. And chapter number 10, Romans, chapter number 10. If you don't mind, I would like for you to just to stand, if you can, or if you're able, just to give you time to stretch out a little bit. And then also, I want to read these few verses, just 1 through 15. You follow along as I read. And I hope that you come this morning already with a purpose. I hope that you come this morning already wanting to hear from God. If you come this morning wanting to hear from God, I guarantee you he'll talk to you. The Holy Spirit will share with you exactly what you need to hear. So Romans chapter number 10, are you there?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes,
all right, Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. He says, this is Paul. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. He's using these expressions of great difficulty, relating back to living by the law. Who can go to heaven and bring God down? Who can descend to the bottom of the earth and bring Him up? Well, you can't. Neither can you live by the law. Neither can you go one day without breaking the law. You offend in one, you offend the whole law. He says, great difficulty. However, he goes on in verse number 7, or verse number 8, but what saith I? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is a word of faith which we preach. Well, what is this word of faith that we preach? What is this? Verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, say these next words with me. Thou shalt be saved. That's what they're preaching. Nothing to do with the law. Nothing to do with tradition. But by faith, that's what he's saying. You trust in God. Whoever believeth in thine heart, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, how does that take place? Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Is that what Paul said in the beginning of the book? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of God. I trusted in him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon him, verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wonderful news, isn't it? You'd agree? Thank God somebody shared that with me. Thank God somebody preached to me about salvation. I'm glad for that. Amen? Aren't you glad somebody told you that Jesus died for you? Aren't you glad somebody told you that God wants to forgive you of your sins, that you might be on your way to heaven, and there's no hold bars, there's nothing you need to do, for all of our righteousness is as filthy rags? Aren't you glad somebody told you? Amen?
Yeah.
I'm glad. So Paul said, you here in Rome, you know what the book says. You know what the law says. But you know what God's word says. That by faith, you trust in God. By faith, you trust Him when He did. For whoever comes to Him, whoever calls upon Him, shall be saved. Well, you need to mark that, highlight it, tab it, something in your Bible. Never forget that verse. Well, how does this happen? Verse 14. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher or proclaimer? Not a pastor, not an evangelist, but a proclaimer. Who's he talking to? Who's a letter to? It's not to an evangelist, is it? It's not to a missionary. It's not to some pastor in the Church of Rome. No, it's to the Christian Jews and Greeks that are in Rome. Men and women, boys and girls. How shall they hear without a preacher or a proclaimer? He goes on and says, verse number 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? And as is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Lord willing, this morning and tonight, I want you to be here tonight. I really do. Whatever it takes to be here, be here. You got something planned, you ought to just postpone it. You're going to eat, and get a nap and come back. I share something the Lord laid on my heart. Found in these words in verse number 14. How then shall they call on Him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The title of the message is, how shall they hear? How shall they hear? Good question, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, help us this morning. Lord, I pray even right now, Lord, we may invite the Holy Spirit to do a great work in our heart. Lord, even right now, maybe we've been praying in our own heart. Lord, move me. Prod me. Do whatever it takes to relocate my spiritual condition and be enhanced for You. Lord, help us, and thank You. For Christ's name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. This book of Romans, let me just give you. This morning is going to be more of an introduction to tonight. As I find myself studying, I find myself quite wordy. I want to give you an introduction this morning. And by the way, this introduction, I hope, will be a spark or a conviction in our own heart. But the book of Romans is placed in the first of the Pauline epistles, but it was not written first. Both books to the Thessalonians were written prior to the book of Romans. Both books to the Corinthians were written prior to the book of Romans. 1 Timothy and then also Titus was written prior to the book of Romans. The book of Romans was written somewhere around 23 years after Christ had ascended. This book of Romans is written again to the church or the churches in Rome, the Christians that are in Rome, because they are struggling in their Christian life. And this book, some would view it in different ways if you would begin to dig in and read different commentaries. Everybody has a reason why Romans is in the front line of all the epistles. But I believe it's in the front line because God put it there. I believe it's prior to the other letters because God put it there. This is God's book. He can do what He wants. Amen. And God puts it there. Well, why does He put it there? Because it is filled with with the theology of soteriology. Say, preacher, what in the world is that? That is meaning it is filled with the study of salvation. You want to know about salvation against the law of God or against the law of Moses and against traditions and against works? Then you need to read the book of Romans. You want to know about the sin that God pardons and how good He is and how much He loves us? Then you need to read the book of Romans. It's placed there to help us. It's placed there to mature you and me. I hope that you have read the book of Romans sometime in your Christian life. If you haven't, I would encourage you to do so. See, preacher, it's a hard book. Well, that's what Peter said too. Paul, you've written some hard things. I can understand them all. But you know the one who can, the one who wrote it out, the Holy Spirit. And He will give you and me the utterance. He'll give you and me the understanding of what we can handle when we can handle it. You and I will never understand the whole book and the depth of the book of Romans until we're mature in the Lord or as we grow mature in the Lord. And so this book is there to help reinforce those Christians in their faith of salvation. Well, why do I need being reinforced in my faith? Well, I'm going to show you that in a minute. But the Jews in Rome had a very difficult time believing or trusting or even admitting that Christ was a Messiah, or that He was even the King of the Jews. You'll find in John chapter 19, 19, you can read it behind me, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That's what it said. That's what it said. Didn't set well as He was writing it, as He was scribing it out, so that the Jews come to Him. It didn't set well with them. The Jews were upset and they didn't like it. So in John chapter 19 and verse number 21, then said the chief priest to the Jews, to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that He said, I am the King of the Jews. They didn't want the absolute. They wanted it to read, He said He was the King of the Jews. But Pilate knew. With interrogation, Pilate knew when he asked Jesus, what is truth? Pilate knew when his wife came to him and said, have nothing to do with this just man. Pilate knew there was a truth in him. And so he comes back to the Jews in John chapter 19 and verse number 22. And Pilate answered and said, what I have written, I have written. You see, Jesus is the King of the Jews. Amen? Amen? But the Romans, the Jews in Rome, had a very difficult time accepting this. But those that were saved by grace alone through their own faith, trusting in Him, needed to be reassured and reinforced in their belief in God. And so therefore, Paul writes this book to them. The title again is, How Shall They Hear? The belief factor, the factor of faith was not present in the Jews' heart. And so the book of Romans, again, was written during a time, when, as we mentioned the last couple weeks, Paul was on his way to Corinth during this time. Possibly wrote it in Corinth when he was collecting, if you remember, the offering from the Macedonians and the offering from the Corinthian church. It was written during this time. And so we notice that they were a big part to this going. This is where they were going to go. This is where the offering was going to take place at. This is who was going to receive the offering. You'll find that Paul helped found and ground this church in Acts chapter number 28. And he shared with them the doctrine of salvation and all that was in Rome. It was a mission field. And by the way, it's still a mission field. It was a mission field in Paul's day. It was a mission field during the days of the churches. And so he shared with them this wonderful doctrine of salvation because The unsaved Jews were continually in turmoil over this. They struggled with putting their faith in Christ. They needed to be made clear of His coming. They needed to be made clear of His resurrection and the eternal life that He gives. Somebody needs to tell them. Well, how will they know these things? How shall they hear if no one tells them? So Paul writes this book, and they needed to hear the truth about how to share. The Jews needed to hear. The Greeks in Rome needed to hear. But how shall they hear? How shall they know? Paul answers many of their questions to reinforce them in their faith in this book. And by the way, if you're not grounded in your faith in God, if you're not settled in your own salvation, how can you be effective for God? You'll not be effective for God. You'll struggle in your own life, your own spiritual life. You can't be a benefit. You can't be a blessing to others when you yourself are unconfirmed in your own life if you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. God confirms it that you can know. 1 John tells us that ye may know that you have eternal life. You can know. And so he reinforces them because those that were saved in Rome certainly were not all that mature. There were those that were very young in age and needed to be made sure of. Why? Because they had a mission field. Rome was their mission field. They were struggling. They were confused. They were knowing God, but not knowing God. They had the book. They had the articles. They had God's Word. I put on Facebook a couple days ago, having God's Word and harnessing God's Word are two opposite things. You can have God's Word. You can hold on to it. You can read it. But harnessing it is completely different. Harnessing it is putting it on. Harnessing it is living it and wearing Christ. And when you and I are saved, we are clothed in His righteousness. Amen. We are now clothed in God. Therefore, we harness it. We ought to be enthusiastic about our salvation. We ought to be grateful in our salvation, enthusiastic and wanting others saved. I hope we don't falter in our own mission field. I hope we don't fail in our own mission field. There was a responsibility in the saints of Rome to fulfill the preaching of God's Word. It was there that Paul said, how shall they hear without a preacher? It was their responsibility to tell someone. And can I say to you, and even me, it's our responsibility to tell someone. The sign, the banner that hangs above me, each one win one. To go out on all the highways and to compel them to come in. And as the Lord told us, to go in and preach the gospel to every creature. Each one win one. We're in month 11. The question is, where's your spiritual child? Have you won one to the Lord yet this year? Have you led someone, introduced someone to the Lord that through your leading, they trusted the Lord as your personal Savior? We started the year 11 months ago. How many of you won? Preacher, it's not my responsibility. That's what God says it is. God says it is our responsibility. Each one win one. Each one to go out. Each one to tell others the good news. Each one to spread the gospel. The Bible says how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. I have a sermon on what shoes are you wearing? Where are you going in your life? Maybe I'll preach that someday. But Rome was a plantation of God, of Paul. He initially started this. Him and Peter had a big part in getting this church established in Rome. And Paul's design by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is to bring light of justification by faith alone in Christ to those that need to believe, not by the works of law, but by faith, as many would struggle with. It was also in parallel to prove that both Jews and Greeks are sinners. I say, preacher, there are some sinners that are worse than other sinners. And I say, yeah, I understand that. And I would go right along with Paul and say, I'm one of the chief sinners. It doesn't matter how many times you sin. It doesn't matter how deep your sin is. God still cleanses, amen? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you did it to. God still forgives. God's a God of pardon. He's a God that loves. He's a God that forgives. And there's no one individual that you and I would ever witness to that God says, now, wait a minute. There's no way I can save this individual. There's no way I can cleanse this one. He's so far gone. He's so far dirty. He's done so many things in his life. You have no idea. Only I know, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. There's not one individual that is so deep in sin, so far in the pit of that miry clay that God can't reach down and pull them out. Is his arm so short that he cannot save? Is his ear so heavy that he cannot hear? I don't know about you, but God heard me. God reached down and he pulled me out of that miry clay, and he set my foot upon a rock and he established my goings. I'm glad for that. I praise God for that. I praise God for the one that showed me this God that I can trust in, Jesus that I can trust in. I thank God for the patience. I thank God for the love. I thank God that someone showed me and shared with me. Because you know what? I needed to hear. So the church in Rome has been given this wonderful opportunity to share Paul's heart. Every child or every creation of God is not without sin. See, well, preacher, I feel I'm good enough. I feel that I've done well in my life. Well, I'm glad for that. It helps keep the jail costs down. But that doesn't make you righteous in God's eyes. You want to know why? Because Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity, like the wind, have taken us away. I'm going to tell you, our sins have separated us from God. Amen? But God, who is rich in mercy, says in Isaiah 1:18, but come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm glad. My glad is a God of pardon. You see, Israel that time, they seen the judging God. They seen a condemning God. They seen a God that was wiping out the nation of Israel. Those that were turning back. But there was a remnant of Israel that wanted to love God. But all they seen was this just judgment God. And God said, no, I'm not just a judging God. I'm a pardoning God. I'm a merciful God. I'm a gracious God. I'm a loving God. I'm a patient God. Come now and let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'm a loving God and a pardoning God. They'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll wash them with the blood of my son. They shall become like wool. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, God's still the same God in the Bible as he was in Isaiah, as he is today. Amen. And glory, hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You need to be excited about what God's done. You need to be excited about who he is. You need to be excited about what he can do. And he wants to do it through you. But how can they hear if you don't tell them? Others need to know of a God that loves. He's no respecter of persons. Acts 10:34 says, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. My sin certainly separates, but God doesn't designate who he's going to save and who he's not going to save. I'm glad for that. How shall they hear? How will others know the truth? Our desire ought to be like Paul's desire. Look back at me in the book of Romans chapter 9. Verse number 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ. In other words, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to fib. I'm not going to try to pull the wool over your eyes. I want you to know I'm telling the truth. I tell you the truth, he says. I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. There is no way I can lie before God. So he tells them. He wants to be honest of his desire. I hope you have an honest desire. I hope it's not a selfish desire. I hope it's not an accolade desire. I want to win one so I can stand up and say I won one. That's not a right desire. Paul said in verse number 2, I have heavy greatness, or I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For who? Heaviness and sorrow for the souls of men. When's the last time you cried over someone? When's the last time that we found tear stains and teardrops at the altar over someone who is lost that you know of, lost of a family member, a lost spouse, a lost child? When's the last time we cried over somebody? When's the last time you were moved by the very thought of losing someone in death and never had the opportunity to share with them the wonderful news of the gospel that someone shared with you and me? When's the last time you had a burden? When's the last time you had continual heaviness in your heart over a soul? Paul said, I have continual great heaviness in my heart, crying and weeping for the souls of men. For what reason? He said, for I wish, he says. You see, he wanted to be honest. He said, I have a heaviness, but I'm willing to be hellbound. Look in verse number 3. For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my kinsmen, for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. I would rather give you my salvation and go to hell for you. Because I know the God, I love the God, and I want you to experience Him too. But if it takes me to give my salvation up, I will do that. For I wish myself to be accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen. Are you even willing to give up your own salvation, although it cannot be done? That your wife, that your child, your husband, even a nephew, a niece, uncle, grandparent, you willing to fall on our knees? Are we willing to cry out to God, God, use me? God, use me. They need to hear. Well, preacher, they heard it so many times. Do you not think the Jews knew the Word of God? They were the keepers of the articles of God. They were the keepers of the law. It was a privilege that God gave them to hold on to God's word. They knew the law. They knew God's word. This was nothing different. Jesus is in the Old Testament just as well as he is in the New Testament. Doesn't matter if they already heard. Have they heard it from you? Well, preacher, I tell them all the time, you know what I do? Keep telling them. Keep praying. Keep having a burden. Why? Because one day the shell will crack. One day the heart will become soft. One day they will accept Christ as their Savior. You're faithful. Say, preacher, will it happen in my lifetime? I can't tell you that. But I have seen many get saved after the loved one had passed away. Because they heard from the lips of the one that lies in the grave. How shall they hear? Verse number 1 in chapter number 10, I want you to see Paul's heart. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Can we say this morning, whether you live in Piqua, Vandalia, Inglewood, Troy, Sydney, Can you say, and can I say, my heart's desire is to see Troy saved? My heart's desire. To see my street saved. Oh, my heart's desire for those back neighbors. My heart's desire for the neighbors that's got the dog that's always barking. My heart's desire where I drop off the kids at school, teachers, babysitters, those that you see regularly. My heart's desire, see my bus driver say, my heart's desire, see the fellow that I eat lunch with every day, see them saved. You see, Paul's heart was parallel with God's heart. For God says in 2 Peter 3:9, he tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not some, not half, not a few. But God's not willing that any should perish, although we know many do. Matthew tells us that in Matthew chapter number 7. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be which go in thereat. We understand that, for narrow is the gate, and strait is the way that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. We understand that. But God's not willing, because hell wasn't created for his creation. It was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't created for you and me, but because of our rebellion, because of our pride, because of our unwillingness to trust in him, we fall into the same category as Satan himself. I can get to heaven my own way. The Bible says in Romans 2:4, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. God's good. And he uses us in spite of who we are. But we do know that if I lift up Jesus, he will draw all men unto him. God's goodness supersedes me. He said his word will not return void. You train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it. You give them God's word. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? But how shall they hear of this truth? How shall they hear of the love of God? How shall they hear of the goodness of the gospel of Christ? How shall they hear of the salvation that's freely offered? How shall they hear about the justification by faith and the imputation of Christ's righteousness upon you and me? How will they know these things unless someone tells them? How will they know about the grace of God? Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. How will they know that unless somebody tells them? How will they know that unless they hear it? There must be feet that share the gospel of peace. There must be those that give out the gospel of peace. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. You ever have a gift? Couldn't wait to show somebody? Couldn't wait to share it with them? Maybe they get excited as you did or enthusiastic as you were when you got it. You want to share that gift, want to show that gift, and maybe get them somewhat a little excited about too. Well, this is what it is. You and I have the greatest gift that anybody could ever have, and that's the gift of eternal life. For God gave us a gift. He gave us Jesus Christ, his own son. For God gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a gift that is. And when I received it, I should be excited enough to let others know that they can receive Jesus just like I did. But how will they hear unless somebody tells them? You see, the book of Romans was written so that they might hear. When's the last time you shared the gospel? was the last time we asked the question? Do you know for sure if you're going to heaven? Where are you going to go when you die? Do you know what's after death? Do you know what's on the other side? I don't care how you word it. But when's the last time that you begin to open that door to share with someone the great need of salvation, that they can be washed from the same blood that you were washed, that washes all men? When's the last time? Well, how shall they hear if you and I don't tell them? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to have some time with God. I want you to put all distractions, all things aside. Let God do some work in your heart. Don't let pride come in your life. You want to be surrendered? That's totally surrendered. You just be clay in the potter's hand. Maybe you'll say this morning, as Isaiah said, chapter 6, verse 8, he says, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Are you willing to, I'm not asking you to go across the Atlantic or the Pacific. I'm not asking you to move to Canada or Alaska. I'm not asking you to do these things. I'm asking you, as God would ask you, can I send you across the street? Can I send you into the next room where your loved one is sitting? Can I send you across the hall where your coworker is? Can I depend on you? Can I send you? Isaiah said, I don't know where you'll send me, Lord, but here am I. You see, how will they hear except we go, except we proclaim, except we send those things, or send those who are willing? Will your lips be the one that God will hear, the, give the gospel through? Will your lips be the one that they'll hear this gospel of peace? This greatest gift, how shall they hear if it not be from you? One individual said this, I have but one passion. It is He. It is He alone. The world is a field and the field is a world. And henceforth that country shall be my home where I can be most used in winning souls for Christ. I'm going to ask you this. This morning, would you find a place at the altar? Would you find a place in asking God, God, use me? God, send me? God, let me be an instrument. Let my lips share the gospel with someone. Would you do that this morning? How important are souls to you? Are they important to you as they are to God? Are souls important to you? Paul said, my heart's desire is that all might be saved. All those in Rome. As a matter of fact, it's so deep, I'm willing to give up my own salvation. As we stand to our feet, I want you to make your way out right now. Let's all stand on our feet, heads by our eyes closed. Make your way out even right now. Let's find our place at the altar and say, God, help me surrender. God, give me words to say. God, I want to be used by you. Lord, help me to lead a soul. Again, are the souls important to you as they are to God? If not, Maybe we ought to come and say, God, give me a passion for souls. Give me a passion. I know God's still working on our hearts. Would you be obedient? The biggest thing that keeps us from being the witness and sharing the gospel is disobedience. Would you be obedient to the Lord and find your place? Husband and wife, come. Family, come. You come together and begin to pray. You got somebody that needs saved? Are you really serious about it? Why don't you come and ask God to do it? Why don't you come ask God to intervene? Why don't you come ask God to do a help? How serious are you? Many folks are praying. You find your place here at the altar. Get alone with God. God will talk to you. Brother Bob's going to begin to sing.